This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Who said summer is slow? It's talking season, baby. We got things to talk about, including Taylor Fritz trying to break Rafa Nadal. They're in a fifth set. Match that I'm watching when I should be talking sports. Oh, he broke back. He broke back, right?
He did.
Yes. Taylor Fritz, Rafa Nadal locked up 4-4 in the fifth set. Now they're back on serve. But back here in North Carolina. And that's, I mean, I'm more into that than what we're talking about, even though I am fairly interested in the things we're talking about. I like sports that are being played, not sports that we're just talking about. But the sports that we're just talking about happen to be teams that I care about, and since I'm, you know, hosting a statewide radio show, we should talk about some more. The Carolina Panthers have traded for quarterback Baker Mayfield from the Cleveland Browns. This was
pending physical.
Pending physical, always.
Yes.
The old PP, pending physical.
Apparently, Mayfield is going to fly in from vacation and will take a physical tomorrow.
Who's giving him that physical? I know enough people in Charlotte that I should be able to know somebody who knows somebody who will be giving that physical.
Well, their car may have just been stolen.
We'll find,
on that high-speed chase.
Yeah, be careful.
Travis Hancock just told us about
it. Driving in Charlotte. Charlotte apparently had a... Did he say four different cars are stolen?
Yeah,
and I took that to mean the guy was going full Grand Theft Auto, like jumping out
dude.
And getting another car.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you pop a tire on one, so you jump out, you throw some out of the car, get another one. I don't know why. People always like a good car chase on the news. That's the other question. Did they do it upright? Were there two news helicopters following the car chase? I guess so, if he was watching it live. But then he was like, Charlotte was on edge. There was a car chase. It ended. And then the news dropped that the Panthers got Baker Mayfield. Here's the thing that we know the Panthers got right in this deal. Mm-hmm. They didn't give up a whole lot. To me, a fifth-round pick is not nothing. But it's what you give for a quarterback that everybody knows is not going to be that team's starting quarterback, right? So that team has every incentive to move them. And the fact that he hasn't moved means there aren't a lot of suitors. So not offering a lot was good. I don't know. I'm not a cap accountant, math, numbers cruncher, nerd guy. So I don't know how to explain to you how the Panthers got off as far as the breakdown of the salary. As you heard, everybody got in on the deal. Baker Mayfield took a cut. Partly because he wanted to make a trade happen where he could go somewhere and play. Mm-hmm. The Browns took some of the salary. The Panthers took some of their salary. Did it sound like the Browns had more of the salary?
Browns are paying about $10.5 million. Panthers are paying about $5 million.
So that's obviously good. Now, you have to factor into this. If Baker is your starter, you're now paying, what's Sam Darnold getting paid right now?
$18.9 million.
You're paying $18 million to a backup quarterback. But if you put them together and say, we're paying $23 million to our first and second string quarterback, that sounds a lot more palatable, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, now, that sounds good in the salary situation. Their names being Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold don't sound fantastic in a let's get on the field with these guys and play a season. Mm-hmm. But as Bill Voth, I just saw point out on Twitter, Baker Mayfield seems to have fallen out of favor and seems to be evaluated now as maybe somebody who is holding the Cleveland Browns back. But the Cleveland Browns have proven themselves a team that could step on its own foot, get its own way, stumble, trip, do stupid things that end up not getting them in the playoffs. And Baker Mayfield, for whatever his flaws are, for whatever he may not be, he was a starting quarterback that took them to the playoffs and made them a pretty good team. So I'm, you know, the excuses for Sam Darnold were, well, he was on the Jets, so we don't know how good he could be. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, you know, you could say the same for most quarterbacks that played for the Cleveland Browns. Like, oh, well, he played for the Browns, so we don't know how good he was going to be. This guy was at least good enough that he made the Browns a good team. I'm willing to give him a chance, especially when it seems like the price was low that they paid.
Do you remember back in, I want to say it was like sometime in March when it was right around draft time, early free agency, where there was that report that there was zero interest between yep. Cleveland or between Baker and
Carolina.
And Carolina, like possibly like.
Yeah, but then
like, so a trade's not going to happen. So like, okay, well, either someone told us the wrong thing
But even before, wasn't there a report like 2 weeks after that that it was like, maybe they are interested in each other.
Maybe they are, yes. Exactly. So it's just been wishy-washy. But the fact that it's finally done, okay, fine.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're a Panthers fan, you have to feel better about Baker Mayfield than...
Do you?
Don't you? Yeah, I think so. I think whatever your level of optimism was for the Panthers going into this season, and it may not have been super high, I'm certainly not suggesting they're, like, great, but I'm saying whatever your level of optimism was, it should be a little bit higher now with Baker Mayfield. And frankly, my level of optimism wasn't that low.
Yeah.
Their defense should be good. Their offensive line was so bad that it seemed like they have room to improve, and they're doing it. So it's like if they had a slightly better offensive line, I know this is a big if, but if they get a healthy for 13 or 14 games Christian McCaffrey and slightly improved quarterback play, could that be a just enough over 500 team to be playoff frisky? And remember, there's more playoff spots now.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Playoff frisky.
Playoff frisky, baby. We'll see. It is time to get away from things. Nobody's talked about the trade that's gone through because it just went through. If we were playing you audio about Baker Mayfield, it would be me talking to Travis Hancock just now because we're the first people that have talked about it because it just broke. So let's take a look around the sports world at some other clips of audio. It's the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
First up, this is Liam Hendricks, White Sox pitcher. And I'm not trying to get political here, but I do like to just show the view of an outsider who is not talking politics. He's just talking what seems natural to a person in the world. Obviously, because Chicago was close to the shooting in Highland Park, the players were asked about that. And specifically, he talked about gun laws in America.
Baffling to me, obviously, coming over. That's what America is known for. The kind of, they're known as the superior, like there's a lot of things that are good over here, but you look at the negatives and it's just the complete kind of, like you can go, I can walk into a store as a non-American and buy a handgun in certain states. And that baffles me because it takes longer. I had to take a driving test when I was over here. I won't have to take a test if I want to get a gun. That's stupid. Whoever thought that was a great idea is an idiot. But other than that, it's something, there's a lot that goes on that obviously we, as an Australian, we dealt with it as a country back in the day when it was there. We had a mass shooting. And when that mass shooting happened, the government came in and was like, yeah, we can't do this. We're going to do a buyback program. And so we're going to buy back guns for a fair price and do all this. And all of a sudden, suicide rates dropped drastically. Our gun-related homicides dropped infinitely. And it's something that has pretty much kept on. Like, you can get access to guns in Australia. You can go through gun clubs. You can go through these things. But there's a lot more stipulations on it, and protection isn't a good enough reason to get a gun.
I just, again, without trying to get specifically political about it, it does seem like he makes sense when he's like, why? You get licensed, and you have to take classes to operate a car, because if you operate it wrong, you could really hurt yourself or others, right? Many things are like that. You got to get a license to fish. Now, it's not because they're worried about you getting a hook in your finger in that case. I realize that there's a difference there. But yeah, it seems like as a citizen of the world, I have no idea what his other values or beliefs are. He very well could be a conservative person, but he just says it kind of seems weird that I can drive a car, that I can buy a gun with absolutely no checking to see if I have the ability to operate this thing safely. And a car is something that obviously is heavy regulated. The government knows you own it. You pay taxes on it every year. They check and make sure it's up-to-date safety. You have to get renew your safety to do it, but we don't do the same with guns. I think there is somewhere room between the right to bear arms, which I believe in. I shoot guns. I enjoy them. I hunt a little bit. I have friends who hunt a lot more than I do. And like he said, it's not impossible to get a gun in Australia. We just want to make sure they're going to people that are going to use them right. Seems like it makes common sense to him. Next up, Billy Horschel spoke on the issue of the LIV Tour. We've been trying not to bring up the LIV Tour, but he's been one of the more passionate speakers about what he does. He doesn't mind the players going to the LIV Tour. He specifically says that, but he doesn't like some of the things that he's hearing from them. Here's Billy Horschel.
There's a lot of guys that are hypocrites, that aren't telling the truth, that are lying about some things, that I can't stand to sit here anymore and be diplomatic about it, as I have been in the past. I don't fault anyone for going to play the LIV Tour. I don't have any ill will for anyone going to play the LIV Tour. I have ill will towards the comments that they've made. Comments saying that Jay Monahan doesn't listen to the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour doesn't listen to us. Jay Monahan and everyone at headquarters is the PGA Tour. They work tirelessly for us to reap the financial rewards and have all the opportunities we have.
That is Billy Horschel. I do. I like him putting it in a personal standpoint of like the tour is the player. So all these guys that are bagging on the tour, like you're talking about me too personally. And he also made a great point later in those comments. We didn't play everything he said, but he talks about there's 200 guys on the tour, and a lot of them have suggestions of what they like to see done differently. This is no different than any other sports league. Of like, you're not going to make every single player. You're not going to acquiesce to every one of their wishes. You're trying to take in the input from everybody and make decisions that best benefit the most amount of people. If that doesn't specifically benefit you, Phil Mickelson, we're sorry, but we're thinking about a 200-person tour, not a Phil Mickelson tour, right? So I just thought his comments were interesting. That is the Wall of Sound.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
I'm Hayes Permar filling in for Adam Gold. Dennis Kack, executive producing, American Aquarium, giving us their country covers. I mentioned this before, so somebody responded to them. American Aquarium did an album all of country covers, most of them like 90s country songs, like John Deere Green,
yeah.
Heads Carolina, Tails California.
Should have been a cowboy.
Should have been a cowboy.
Twist and Shout.
Some other ones. And somebody was like, hey, your version wasn't as good as the original. And they're like, yeah, dude, no crap. Like, we did these songs because of how much we liked them. We didn't put out a cover album being like, we picked 12 country songs and did them better. Like, no, it's like a tribute to the people they like. I just thought they were like, yeah, no crap. Our song, we're not as good as Shania Twain. Did they do a Shania Twain song?
I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, no.
They
no,
put out a second album.
No
actually.
Crap. We're not as good as Joe DiMassina doing. The person who wrote the song did it better. Now, that's anytime somebody does a cover, I feel like you only do it because you really like the song. Occasionally, like, you may be asked to do, like, hey, we just want to do a different version. But most people probably have a lot of respect for the song they did. I just always found that interesting. The guy would be like, hey, your version's not as good. Yeah, we know. We like that song, too. I feel like people don't care as much as I do. But we are in a fifth set tiebreak between Taylor Fritz and Rafael Nadal. Taylor Fritz, the last standing American on the men's side, maybe the men's or women's side. So I'm keeping an eye on that and trying to also continue to do this radio show. But it's been a great match. It's enthralling stuff. I mean, guys are hitting the ground and getting back up to make shots. It's just that good right now. We'll keep you posted on that. But it is time to find out what the listeners voted for. We gave them four options. If they had known Nadal Fritz was going down to the wire like this,
yeah.
I have no doubt that Wimbledon would not have finished in fourth place. But it did, unfortunately. Also unfortunate, in third place, Dennis's new tattoo.
Hey, so I beat Wimbledon, though.
I guess we don't talk about that today.
Hey, I beat Wimbledon.
In second place was the Canes draft. NHL would like to announce programming note.
Nah.
Rod Brindamore will join the show tomorrow to talk about the Canes draft. He's got a lot of free time tomorrow because the Canes don't have a first-round pick. Barring a trade of some sort, which will then, of course, be pending a physical. If you, yes. But they don't have a first-round pick, barring a trade, pending a physical that would come with that hypothetical trade that they might make to actually be back in the first round. But regardless, the Canes not slated to pick tomorrow, not slated to pick until, I think, the 60th pick of the draft, which would be late in the second round. So instead, the winning choice for the listeners' vote, what should we talk about today? NC State football dropping out of the ESPN Football Power Index. Is that right, Dennis Cox? How could this be?
Yeah, so they were, I think, somewhere like – I know they've been rated in some early season polls, but when ESPN actually produced a preseason top 25 based off their power index, right?
Using numbers that in theory, like they've established what makes a power team, and we're not voting. It's not supposed to be who we think. We're just plugging the numbers into our computer and spitting out who the top 25 teams are. So therefore, NC State may not. NC State's been like top 10, top 15 in most voting polls. Mm-hmm. This is more a computer base thing.
UNC was 19th.
Yikes.
Yeah. And NC State not ranked at all.
Yikes.
Now, here's my question. Does that confirm that NC State will not go to the SEC nor the Big Ten when Duke UNC jump ship?
Because ESPN has been fading them.
Exactly.
Like if ESPN was showing love and
they were
rising,
devaluing them,
then it's like ESPN likes them. That must mean the SEC is trying to get him a quick update. Nadal has won the first 3 points of this tiebreaker. Not a good time for Taylor Fritz. Of course, it's a mini, but like he lost the first point and then Nadal had two serves, so whatever. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, to me, as little credibility as polls have, not credibility is the wrong word. These people know the game, they follow the sport, but like nobody knows exactly when things are happening. As little faith as I put in the polls, I don't really put any more in power rankings just because they are, you know, computer robots doing the math instead of humans making their biased picks. So I don't really care that NC State has fallen out.
They also have Texas as number 7.
And NC State fans certainly don't care that they've fallen out. I do like you linking it to the conspiracy theory of does this mean that that NC State is getting faded by the SEC, who is controlled by ESPN, who controls their power ranking index. But much like, unless NC State is traded for Baker Mayfield, I don't have a lot of room to talk about college football.
Here's the thing. Devin Leary would easily win the Panthers starting job.
Should the Panthers have traded for Devin Leary instead of Baker Mayfield? That is the question.
Pending a physical.
Always pending a physical. But what about – all right, so let's see. Second, I don't have anything on the NHL draft, too. What is up with your new tattoo?
I mean, it's healing. I got it a week ago tomorrow.
I don't mean personally. How is your tattoo? I mean, what is it? I was distracted by it yesterday. You were putting up the hand to like signal at me all the dumb things I'm doing. And I was like, something new is on there. What is your new tattoo?
I got it on Thursday. So it's the comic character Mr. Miracle.
Okay.
So it's a little bit lesser known DC Comics character. But I am a huge fan of the character. Big story that came out about 4 years ago, written by Tom King and illustrated by Mitch Gerrits, who actually did this art piece that I actually now have as a tattoo. So it's an original art piece by him, specifically made for me, which is really cool. And really love the story. It meant a lot to me and personally. So it's now tattoo number 4 for me.
All right, don't get to the part about how it means a lot to you personally, because it'll probably be about somebody, you know, passing away, and then I'll feel bad making fun of this.
Not that, but okay.
Couple things. One, did you get this in time for Raleigh? Is it Comic-Con or
GalaxyCon? GalaxyCon's in 4 weeks,
Did you plan this in time to have it like ready and healed for GalaxyCon? I'm not knocking you. I'm just curious.
No, I did not, actually.
Okay.
Just happened to be the time.
And then does Mr. Miracle have any pending movie deals?
Not yet.
Okay. I didn't know if you were like trying to get the tattoo before the movie came out so you wouldn't look like a poser of like after his movie goes nuts, I got the tattoo. It's like, no, I'm a fan and I can prove it. I got that tattoo
right
way before the movie.
So no, unfortunately not.
All right. But the tattoo is doing well, pending a physical. Update from the world of Wimbledon. Rafa Nadal's up 5-1.
Play some bets.
That's leading into the worst part is my bets yesterday are about to go 0-3. And if Taylor Fritz had pulled this one out, I could have broke even because it was worth something to me. It's time to play some bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets.
Don't be so sad about it.
I'm very sad about it.
$100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, it's time for Place Your Bets. Again, yesterday, the Royals lost to the Astros. I picked an upset there. The Fever did not come close to beating the Storm. I think they lost by like 20-something. It was gross. I had 10 points. They didn't even come close. And, as I said, it now looks like Taylor Fritz, I'm not going to call it over yet, but things are looking bleak for him versus Rafael Nadal. And I needed that one. I basically would break even if Taylor Fritz could have won. But now, oh, he's fighting back. It's 5-2. Okay. So looks like I'm going to go 0-3. So I need something to happen today. How'd you do yesterday, Kyle?
I went 0-4.
Nice. So just flushing just all kind over. Of units down the drain over here for entertainment purposes only.
Further.
I got to say.
Deeper in the
Gold,
hole.
Gold did me wrong. Him threatening me with, like, don't screw it up, Hayes.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't need that kind of karma going into my guest host week of Place the Bets. Mm. And so any losses I incur, I'm putting on him. That's poor coaching on his part. He's got me, you know, making picks all nervous, and I don't like it. So it's on him. What are you starting with today? I've only got two picks right now because I'm a little nervous to make three. I'm making two. I may add one more in later in the show, but I'm only going with two right now. What do you got?
All right. I'm back on the show, Ohtani. Home run bandwagon. Did not hit one yesterday. He's pitching today, which gives me confidence he's going to hit a homer, plus 500.
Always more incentive to hit a home run when you're pitching, right? Help your own cause. Got to do that.
Yeah.
Taylor Fritz is talking to himself a lot, and my tip on tennis is whenever the guy – it doesn't mean you're not over when you're talking to yourself, but the person who talks to themselves more in the match is usually the person who loses. So when you're in the final set tiebreaker and you're talking to yourself, it's not necessarily a good thing. Also, when did Wimbledon go to fifth set tiebreakers? Didn't they used to just have to play it out?
Didn't
John
so
Isner play like a 50-game set one time?
Yeah, I thought it was until you got like a 2-point advantage.
Yeah, I don't like this. You got to play the fifth set out in all these
games.
Well,
it's interesting because Nadal is up 6-3 in this tiebreaker.
That's what I'm saying, but I thought they didn't even play tiebreakers.
Yeah,
we have to go check the wiki on this. I think they changed the rules after John Isner played for 4 hours in one tiebreak. I'm literally just saying words so that I continue to watch this point. I should just shut up and let it be dead air. I am pretending as if I'm hosting a radio show, when in reality, I'm sitting here watching a TV. You should know, though, for radio interest, the point has been going on the entire time I've been talking here. And there it is. Rafael Nadal just finished it off. But go watch the final point of that match. It was at least a 20-hit rally, something like that. It ended up with Fritz on his back and Nadal winning the match. Whoa.
No, they're still going.
Over?
I don't know what the rules are.
My bad. I don't know anything.
You should go ahead and get your first bet.
No, I should get back to hosting a radio show. I thought that was match point. I don't know anything. I'm taking the Mets today. I'm putting 108 on them since they're minus 108, so I can keep it even.
Okay.
I would just take 100 units. I don't know who's pitching, but I know that they're good and the team they're playing is bad, and they lost last night, so they should be getting their pitchers back tonight. Mets minus 1.5.
David Peterson is pitching for the Mets.
Of course. I love David Peterson. Feel very confident in him. And Mets, only pro baseball game I've been to this year. I got to get to a Nats game, but I did get to a Mets game. So go Mets. I'm pulling for the Mets now.
All right.
Because I went
Adam will be very proud of you.
All right.
I'm going NBA Summer League. Grizzlies play the Thunder.
You're all in on
Grizzlies over the Thunder. No. Grizzlies over the Thunder.
Wait. You're betting against?
Yes.
Chet Holt, you're crazy.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just finished.
Plus 110.
I've just finished out my third bet. I'll tell you what it is in a second.
Okay.
But I'll give you a hint. It's going to be Thunder over Grizzlies. My second bet is I need to make up some ground here, and this is when it gets bad. This is when you're chasing. So you're looking for underdogs that could win you some money back. And I'm looking at Tatiana Maria playing tomorrow morning in Wimbledon. I don't know who she is, but I do know she's plus 550, so I'm putting 100 units on that. I'm trying to make up some ground here so that Adam Gold doesn't get mad at me when he gets back.
Okay. I have no idea who she's playing either.
Doesn't matter, but she's plus 550. She's not favored to win. She probably wasn't favored to get this far, and she's overcome the odds. She's an upstart, plucky story. I'm all in, Tatiana Maria. Let's go.
All right. I'm going with Panthers got Baker Mayfield winning the Super Bowl plus 13,000. Plus 13,000. Give it to me.
You're not. I guess you take it now before Vegas has.
Now.
Vegas hadn't had time to adjust.
Before
right?
that physical.
Get the pre-Baker line. Once that physical goes through, it's going to drop to like what? Plus 500 or something?
Oh, easily.
They'll be locks.
Locks.
So, yeah, I like that. All right, my final bet is I'm spiting you, and I'm going to smite you as well.
Oh, wow. Smite me.
That's right. You got to get on the Chet Holmgren train. He's filling it up in Summer League, and he's leading the Thunder to an undefeated Summer League.
He's already setting Summer League records.
I should go check the Chet Holmgren prop bets, but instead I'll just take him because he's a team player. Give me the Thunder over the Grizzlies. I don't even know what the line is on that one, but give it to me. Give it to me.
On the money line, minus 130.
Give it to me. I don't even care if it's bad value. I want it. 100.
They don't even have game prop bets for players.
No Summer League prop bets?
No, I don't see any.
It's because you never know when they're just going to pull a dude at halftime.
Yeah. You don't even know who's going to play.
All right. That is place your bets. Are you really going to keep the Panthers Super Bowl win on there now for like 9 months?
Yeah.
And then collect the 130,000 units? That would be nice. It would be
no,
nice.
It's just 13,000 units.
Oh, my bad. 130.
I wish it was 130,000 units because if that's the case, I might have to drive into Virginia and actually make a bet.
It's over now. Rafael Nadal has advanced over Taylor Fritz in a fantastic. Sorry, I called it over a little bit early, but now it is officially over, and my bet officially loses on that one.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
What if the ACC had set its sights 100% back in 1990 when, again, David Glenn would remind you the payouts were as big or bigger for the ACC as anyone? What if you started whispering in Kentucky's ear right then of, hey, you're a basketball school. This thing is going, we see the way it's going, and football is worth more money. And I know that you've been in the SEC a long time, but you're a basketball school, and you know it, right? We're a basketball conference. You're not that far away. And in fact, you're closer to most of the heart of ACC country than you really are to Alabama or Mississippi or all that, the heart of the SEC, right? Get in Kentucky's ear and convince them that if they join with you, you'd have Duke, UNC, and Kentucky. UNC, not quite the huge college basketball brand it was in the 80s. Partly what's diluted its power as a brand is it used to just be like Kentucky was in basketball, used to be the only game in town in the state, right?
Yeah.
ACC basketball was the only thing, and UNC had the biggest brand. The Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets and the Carolina Hurricanes coming to town just diluted what college basketball is a little bit, and that's fine. I'm cool with that as a fan, but it made North Carolina not quite what Kentucky is. Meanwhile, Duke built its brand over that time and is the national power, right? So what if you just worked all your energy and effort and saying, we're not trying to be a football school. We'll be good enough in football. They'll have to keep us in the Power Five conversation, but we're going to be a basketball school. And if you managed to pick off Kentucky, then also you would have added Connecticut instead of Boston College, right? Like the football, I know that Boston College has some football history, but ultimately on the brand level, it's not big. So football is negligible in that decision. And Connecticut, as a basketball school, was strong and rich, had a great 80s, had a great 90s. Who do you think you could be talking about in the Big 12 right now? If you had Duke, UNC, Kentucky, and Connecticut in a college basketball conference, you think Kansas might answer your call? If you called the Big 12 right now, if you had to go the super conference route and had to get up to 16 or 20 teams, again, Louisville would have made sense to add eventually. Now you've got the Kentucky-Louisville rivalry, the Duke-UNC rivalry, Connecticut playing. You got Kentucky playing. Maybe they're not playing four games against Duke and UNC every game, But by golly, they're going to be playing three every year. Kentucky's going to be playing at least UNC or Duke once every year, play one of those teams twice. You add Kansas to that mix. Again, I'm not saying that you could put together a TV contract that would match college football. You cannot. But guess what? You're not going to be able to do it right now either. But I'll bet you, you could have found a partner, especially, what do you have right now? You got two networks, and the third one that used to be in college football is kind of out the game, right? CBS used to have the SEC package.
Every, like, 3:30 game, CBS was SEC.
What more perfect partner would the ACC have than with the brand that owns college basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You be on CBS, be their focused college football. They've got they're going to put Clemson or Florida State or Miami basically on there every 3:30, right?
Big brands.
Well, I'm fine with the ACC small budget game. I'm fine with NC State playing Wake Forest on CBS Sports Network. That still shows up on the cable channels. And then you basically make the college basketball world bow to you and CBS scheduling every Saturday in after college football ends, every Saturday in late January and February, running into the March Madness, you've got huge matchups, Kentucky, Kansas, Carolina, Duke, Louisville, all those to play with, and all the other traditional ACC schools. Again, you would listen to this and be like, that's stupid. Kentucky never would have left the SEC. Never would have happened. There's a lot of things now that you may have said never would have happened, including we're talking about the possibility of North Carolina or Virginia or Duke or NC State or some combo of them leaving the ACC. We've talked all show about why that might not be super imminent. But again, we're talking about scenarios that a lot of people would say, that's stupid, that never would have happened. I just wonder if somebody had the foresight to say, basketball is our core. We're going to put the ACC tournament in Greensboro forever and make this a mecca marquee event. Can you imagine if you had an ACC tournament semifinal of Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, and UNC in Greensboro? It would be what it was in the late 80s to mid-90s when it got to be the toughest ticket in sport behind the Masters. You can't go back, you can't change things, and obviously you can't make that happen now. Man, I just wonder what it would have been like if somebody had the foresight to say, we're a basketball conference and we're going to keep it that way. I started talking about this in one of the waves of expansion, but even by the time I was talking about it, it would have been too late. It would have taken being there in about 1990 and saying, you know what? Everyone's zigging and they're chasing the college football dollars. Mm-hmm. We're never going to win that game because we're already behind the Alabamas and the Michigans and the Big Ten universities of the world and the Ohio States. So let's zag and be who we are and be the strongest basketball conference of all time. See if we can get Kentucky. See if we can get Kansas. Anybody else then falls in line. The Connecticuts, whoever else you want. Syracuse, if you want Syracuse, they're coming, right? Anyway, I would have found it interesting. Actually, do we know if UCLA and USC have passed their physicals?
Well, they have 2 years to pass. They're on vacation okay. Right now.
All right. So then they got to pass a physical to go to the Big Ten. That is on the heels of the other big news that dropped during our show today. We're still debating as to whether or not this counts as big news that Adam Gold missed when he was on a vacation.
Oh, it is.
I'm in the no category.
I 100%.
This is not the Canes winning the Stanley Cup.
100%.
This is not like, Roy Williams retiring or something. I can't remember if he wasn't in that day or not. I think maybe it was that. I think that was one of the days. I think it was Roy Williams retiring.
For him.
I can't remember.
Because we were on air together.
Okay. I couldn't remember if I was, well, whatever. Again, I get lost. Baker Mayfield being traded to the Panthers does not count as significant news while he's on vacation.
Yeah,
but it is a thing that actually happened. Fifth round pick. Panthers pick up part of his tab. Cleveland keeps part of his tab. And Baker reduced his salary. Again, Sam Darnold's deal will now look very bad for a backup quarterback. But if you combined, the Panthers aren't paying that much for a starting and backup quarterback combined. The question is obviously what will they get out of Baker Mayfield? If you were calling Baker Mayfield a top 10 starting quarterback when he was playing his best, you were probably overrating him.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think people are kind of underrating him, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, nobody wants him. Oh, he's terrible. Get him out. Well, the franchise can't move forward with this guy. We've got to get Deshaun Watson in here. I do understand why you upgrade from this guy's a starter to this guy is an elite quarterback, one of those dudes that, when you get to the final four of the NFL, usually three of the quarterbacks are from a list of like five or six dudes. I get that, But I do think that we've kind of gotten to the point where we're underrating Baker Mayfield a little bit. Speaking of underrating things, with the few minutes we have remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
First up on Rightly Rated is Big Ben. Is Big Ben overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? The New York Times headline reads, Big Ben's bongs. And man, this could have gone a different direction if we were talking about something different. But Big Ben's bongs will soon ring out again across London. The tower that houses the enormous bell has been undergoing renovation since 2017. Is Big Ben overrated, underrated, or rightly rated, Dennis Cogg?
He's going to make the Hall of Fame Big Ben rightly rated.
Not that Big Ben. The one in London.
Oh, that does overrated.
I've never seen it. It's officially the, I think it's called the Elizabeth Tower now. It used to be the Royal Tower, but they had named it after Queen Elizabeth. But yes, it's going to be back in action. Big Ben, one of the sights of London. Probably a little overrated.
Okay.
A little overrated. And finally, on Rightly Rated, the Gorgosaurus. Is the Gorgosaurus overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
What?
I've never heard of one either, but the 76-million-year-old dinosaur skeleton is in pristine condition, and it's going to be auctioned off in New York City. Nearly 10 feet tall and 22 feet long. Is the Gorgosaurus overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Overrated. Who are you?
There was like four dinosaurs when I was a kid. It was like T-Rex, Stegosaurus, Brontosaurus, and Triceratops. That's it.
Velociraptors.
No, Velociraptors didn't exist. They got it invented by Jurassic Park.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.